You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we, of course, talk about the Indiana Pacers as always. My name's Tony East. I cover the Pacers for Forbes and the West Side Community News, and today is a show that I've been saying I'm beginning to do for a while, breaking down the Pacers offseason key dates. And hearing the dates chronologically, I think for me and for you, people have told me this in past seasons, is helpful for seeing, you know, you can see what the order of the decisions the Pacers are going to make when it comes to building their roster and making their key decisions. And those decisions influence other Pacers decisions. So by going through the dates chronologically, you can kind of see how the Pacers will decide and dictate when they'll do the things that they're likely to do, whether that's keep one guy or waive another guy or trade a guy or make a free agency move or make a coaching move. Running through all this stuff is really important. I do this every year. It's a little different this year than normal because the offseason dates have all been tweaked as a result of the COVID schedule change to the season, but I'll still run through it all. So I have this broken down into three sections, as the show usually is, but on this it's pretty standard. We have our pre-draft section, then we have our team building section, so basically the draft through the end of free agency, and then our post-draft section. And two of these dates are technically during the season, but they're still roster construction-y, so I put them in the final segment. So I've been making this date list since before the offseason really got going. So the first one I have is May 25th, which could have meant something for the Pacers. That was the draft standings tiebreaker day. The Pacers would have been tied with the Wizards, but they're not because the Wizards made the playoffs. So the Pacers are 13th. They didn't move up or down from any draft standings tiebreaker. And that's why we were able to push this show back, because that would have been the first key date of the offseason. But it did not end up affecting the Pacers. They're still 13th in the lottery no matter what. We'll get to the draft lottery later in this segment. So I teased this yesterday, but I have a date relating to Nate Bjorkgren, kind of, that could be, you know, not a deadline, but a factor in the timeline of his employment status with the Pacers. So I still don't think it's going to be like an imminent thing. You know, the Pacers are canvassing and watching the playoffs, and they'll make their decision at some point. But June 16th. What is June 16th? That is when Canada basketball training camp starts in Tampa Bay as they train for, they have a little, I forget what their summer competition is. They have a summer competition before the Olympics. So they have a roster, then they cut that roster down for the Olympics. Doesn't matter what the competition's for. Canada basketball training camp starts June 16th. Why is that a key date for the Pacers offseason? Well, Nate Bjorkgren has been an assistant for Team Canada in the past. Nick Nurse is still the head coach of Team Canada. So he has been asked before if Bjorkgren would do Team Canada again. He said he wasn't sure, but he would like to. But he hasn't. I don't think he's officially been announced as an assistant coach for that team, but he has been in the past. So if he is a coach or an assistant for Team Canada again, he will be in Tampa Bay with that team probably starting June 16th. And I don't think the Pacers would want to necessarily, you know, have these meetings about his future over Zoom. So perhaps the decision could be by then. I'm not saying that's a deadline. I'm not saying that's a factor. I don't know that it's a factor, at least. But I think it could be a factor in their timeline. I also, Caris LeVert had to have his exit interview at some point, and it may have happened yet. It may not have. Remember, he was in health and safety protocols. They wanted to do that in person. So once he's cleared from whatever his COVID-related health and safety protocol thing is, maybe he has an exit interview, he provides his thoughts on Bjorkgren, and then they can proceed there. But June 16th is the first date I have this summer, because Canada training camp could make the timeline on Bjorkgren become more clear. That's 13 days from now. The second, well, that was a long explanation. Most of these won't be that long of an explanation. Second key date for the Pacers this summer, June 19th. That is when the G League camp is. It's kind of like a pre-draft thing, where they can evaluate guys from the G League. And the reason this is big is the top 40 like college dudes not invited to the NBA draft combine usually go to this, 50, 40, something like that, along with G Leaguers for draft prep, right? So O'Shea Brissett went undrafted. He was in the G League camp his year, right? So probably nothing that you'll hear like news-wise coming out of that, besides you'll get some official measurements for some interesting guys and stuff like that. But, you know, those guys could end up being good players. O'Shea Brissett, for example, was one of them. So that's the next one, is that actual draft combine. June 21st through 27th. And that's when we'll get key measurements on a lot of guys the Pacers could be interested in. Maybe some interviews happen then. Right, a lot goes on in those 6 days. It's the 21st through the 27th. And during that time, June 22nd is the actual draft lottery. So at that date, the Pacers draft spot will be set. It'll either be 1, 2, 3, 4, or 13. And they can assess these guys who are in the NBA draft combine based on stuff they learn from the NBA draft combine. So those overlapping is pretty interesting. But that is June, right? In like a span of a week, you have Canada training camp, which O'Shea is involved in for sure. He's one of the guys on that roster. The G League camp, the draft combine, and the draft lottery are all 6 days apart. The draft combine lasts through that, but that is a lot of the pre-draft section of this offseason for the Pacers of stuff to watch is, you know, how do the moving parts of the pre-draft prep go? What pick do they get? All that important stuff. And, of course, we'll break down on this show, you know, their options at whatever pick they end up getting. More than likely 13, almost certainly 13, but you never know. And the last date pre-draft that I have is actually a span of dates, July 23rd through August 8th, but July 23rd is the first date, and that's before the draft. So that's why it's in this segment. That's the Olympics.
The Olympic Games for basketball.
Why does that affect the Pacers? It might not. It might. Maybe some Pacers players like O'Shea or Sabonis or Turner or Brogdon are playing in the Olympics and they're overseas for that portion of time. It could be a factor, though, with free agency. You know, I doubt any free agents are going to risk getting an injury before their own free agency in the Olympics. But it could be useful for seeing some guys who, you know, maybe the Pacers are interested, or maybe there's some guys going through the draft internationally who are playing over there. I don't know what the Olympics are going to look like in relation to the NBA, whether it's prospects or impending free agents or guys coming off the finals, which is, you know, the last day the finals can be is July 22nd, right? I guess I could have included that date in this segment, though it's not really that relevant. I guess it is a little bit. So July 22nd is the last day the finals can be. And once that's over, teams can trade again. You can trade again once you're done playing. So I guess that's a factor, although at that point, just wait till the draft, deal with all that. So the Olympics could be a factor. I'll be, you know, it's still worth watching whatever Pacers play, if any. I'm imagining that Sabonis and O'Shea want to. And, you know, of course, the guys invited to the American squad want to. But we'll see if any guys end up playing or not. But that is the pre-draft portion of the Pacers summer. So what we'll find out then is where they pick the measurements and abilities and makeup, or at least more publicly, of the guys that we like and they might like. We'll definitely know some Bjorkgren status pre-draft, and we'll be in Olympic mode. So that is all the stuff that happens before all the juicy transactions and signings that everybody is obsessed with. So let's get to that part. Let's order that all out. But first, let's take a break and talk about two things. The first one is a new thing, a brand new segment, brand new ad read segment, that's a part of the Locked On Podcast Network, brought to you by our good friends over at Michelob Ultra. We're talking about the Ultra moment of the week. And if the Pacers were playing, it could be easier to come up with some of these. They're not. But I think the moment of the week for me is Damian Lillard's insane Game 5 performance for the Portland Trail Blazers. It did not come in a win, but he was just making so many shots that just made you react outwardly. You know, you like screaming in your living room for no reason, even though no one is over at your house, speaking from experience. It was one of the best performances I've ever seen. And it is the Locked On Pacers stamp of approval, Michelob Ultra Player of the Week. Damian Lillard certainly gets joy and happiness out of playing well. And his team enjoys when he plays well, despite none of them else playing well. So go check out tons of other exciting Ultra moments using the hashtag Ultra Moments. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. And at only 2.6 carbs, 95 calories, you will enjoy a Michelob Ultra. Joy creates success. And enjoyment isn't the end game. It's the whole game. Try Michelob Ultra today and submit your Ultra moments. And of course, we're talking about Rock Auto, because one reason to repair and maintain your car is to save money that you can use on other important things like your mortgage or food. Why would you ever spend 30, 50, or 100% more even for the exact same amount of parts in a chain store or a new car dealership when you could get them at rockauto.com? For example, Delphi FG1456 fuel pump assembly for a Honda Odyssey, $353.99 at Advanced Big Chain Store, and $269.79 at rockauto.com. That's a $140 difference. They're a family business serving auto parts customers online for over 20 years. They'll have everything you need, including engine control modules all the way to brake parts, to tail lamps, everything you'll need for your car. They'll have it at rockauto.com. It's super easy to navigate, and best of all, their prices are always reliably low, see all the parts available for your car or truck over at rockauto.com. Write Locked On in there. How did you hear about us box? They know that we sent you amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. Okay, the fun part of the offseason for y'all, the draft, the free agency, the trade mania, the roster construction, the changes. Oh my gosh, the changes the Pacers are getting every free agent on the market. Anyway, the Olympics start the 23rd. That's where we cut off the dates. The next date of the Pacers offseason chronologically, July 29th. What is that? That's the actual draft day itself. We'll figure out who the Pacers pick, at what slot, if they pick up other picks, if they trade out of other picks, how it affects their salary cap, how it affects their free agency, how it affects what positions they might be targeting in free agency. We will learn a ton on that July 29th day. And we'll only have a few days to break it down because free agency does not start long after that. So the next date is kind of 2 days. I'll explain it as one day and then we'll zoom out a little bit. And that's August 1st. August 1st is the last day for player/team option decisions and qualifying offers that they can be in a contract, right? Because these dates had to change, so a lot of them say like the last day of the league season or whatever, blah, blah, blah. August 1st would be that day. So we could find out what if some guys get their option declined and are surprising free agents or are surprisingly not a free agent, right, for example. So how that one affects the Pacers is, again, seeing who could be a free agent or isn't a free agent that was expected to be. And for a direct Pacers effect, Edmund Sumner's deadline for his team option is July 31st. His was structured as one day before the final day of the league season. So that July 31st is really the key date for the Pacers. Will they pick up Sumner's team option or not? We'll find out around then. And reminder, because Ed is good, they can say, hey, Ed, if you decline it, we can have your bird rights and give you a raise going into next year in exchange for having more years on the deal. So if they decline it just to free up money and don't re-sign him, I'd be pretty stunned. But either way, around July 30th, 31st, if you see an Edmund Sumner team option picked up, great, Edmund Sumner's on the team next year for cheap. If you see it declined, don't panic. The Pacers can ink him to a longer and larger deal that he has deserved by playing well. Anyway, next date, August 2nd. Free agent negotiations can begin. The big day. Woj will be blowing up the tweets that day. We'll be doing our live pod, freaking out about Malcolm Brogdon-esque stuff. I'm kidding. That is not possible with their cap situation. But that's when the free agent negotiations can begin. That's when we'll hear the deals start to trickle in. The following day, August 3rd, moratorium starts. Which basically is just the period where like the league figures out their finances officially, right? Sets the cap, sets all that stuff. So like negotiations can begin and all that obviously beforehand, but nothing can be official until the cap is set and all that. So the moratorium starts August 3rd. Minimum contracts and two-way contracts can be signed during the moratorium because they have no salary cap impact. Teams can't be hard capped yet at that point anyway. So they can be signed then. They typically aren't because of just the way that you order transactions as an NBA team, but August 3rd, in theory, minimums and two-way guys can be signed. The moratorium starts. August 6th is when that moratorium will end. In that 3-4 day gap, we'll find out again the salary cap numbers officially, how much the MLE is worth, and that'll impact the Pacers a ton, right? We'll learn how much room they have to keep their own guys or to add guys with the MLE or to make deals or how much money they need to cut to do the stuff that they want to do by August 6th. And on August 6th, that's when the moratorium ends. Trades can officially occur, right? So anything that was agreed to on draft day but can't happen until the next league year will happen about then, stuff like that. And then signings can happen that day, blah, blah, blah. Like that's the end of the moratorium is just it, stuff becomes official and it's crazy. August 7th is one day after the moratorium. That sounds dumb that I specified that out, but it relates to the Pacers. Keelan Martin, whose minimum contract is non-guaranteed for next season, his guaranteed date for next season is the one day after the moratorium begins or ends. So that is August 7th. That is when Keelan Martin's contract will fully guarantee. That said, he has to clear waivers for that money to be off the books. Clearing waivers requires 48 hours. So really, the deadline for Keelan Martin to be waived and his money to be off the Pacers' books is August 5th. And let's zoom out even farther. If they think they're going to cut him, keeping him into the moratorium is kind of a dick move, because it makes it harder for him to negotiate with other teams since he's technically under contract with the Pacers still. So Keelan Martin will probably be waived end of July, early August anyway, but that is the hard and fast deadline, is that August 5th, August 7th day. So from July 29th through August 7th, 10 days basically, kind of 9 days, really 10 days, so much will change around the league. We'll have podcasts on podcasts breaking down the Pacers' moves, their decisions with Ed, their decisions with Keelan, what guys they sign, what guys they don't sign, what trades they make, how it all comes together, what's their cap situation. I love the cap stuff. Breaking that all down is a blast for me. So looking forward to that time. I shine in coverage then, I think at least. So that will be fun, and that's going to be a chaotic set of days, right? So we won't learn a ton prior to that about the Pacers' plans. We'll know who their coach is. We'll know officially the salary from their draft pick. We'll know if they made any trades in the draft before free agency because of that July 29th date. But really, a lot will still be in the air. They'll just be a little bit more set in stone, and it'll be a crazy day, a crazy week, crazy 2 weeks, really. I'm looking forward to it. So let's talk about post-roster stuff that's still in the offseason. There's still stuff that matters in the offseason after you build your team. You still got to get prepped for next season. We saw how the shortened offseason impacted teams this year. I'm not saying it impacted the Pacers more or less than any team. It impacted every team the same because it was a short offseason. But all the teams from the finals and the conference semis last year are on the brink of being out in the first round. The Heat didn't win a game. The Lakers might lose in six. They play today. The Nuggets are playing today. They're at least going to make it to seven. But and the Celtics are already out, right? So clearly taxing short offseason, normal long offseason, all these processes, they matter. They really help make a team better. All this timing and stuff really matters. So let's break down the rest of the offseason post-free agency. But first, got to talk about two more great groups of people. The first one, the great folks over at betonline.ag, the official betting sponsor of the Locked On Podcast Network. Baseball season in full swing. You can track all that action at BetOnline, plus the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NHL, UFC, MMA, you name it. Horse racing's on there. And, of course, the NBA. NBA playoffs in full swing. They've got you covered over there tonight for you listening. That is Clippers-Mavs Game 6. Huge game. Clippers are favored, which is crazy. The road team keeps winning in that series. Clippers favored by 2.5 over at betonline.ag. If you're in to that sort of stuff, before the next pitch, before the game tips off, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device. Check out everything they've got, all the contest info. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get in the game. Head over to the website, betonline.ag, or use your mobile device. Sign up today. You'll receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit if you use the promo code LOCKEDON, all one word, LOCKEDON, at checkout. BetOnline.ag or online sportsbook experts. And of course, talking about Rock Auto, because chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers, which is stupid. RockAuto.com, on the other hand, their prices are the same for everybody, and they're always reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible, rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear, like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody, doesn't require membership, no account login. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 2 decades. You can go shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers straight on RockAuto.com. Their catalog is awesome. You can quickly see anything you'll need for your vehicle. Choose the brands and specifications and prices you prefer. And best of all, those prices are always reliably low. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? You can go to RockAuto.com right now. See what they have for you. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need at RockAuto.com. Okay, this stuff is less interesting, I understand that, than the first two parts that relates to the coaching decision and Olympics. There's actual basketball, and then there's the draft, and then there's free agency, and there's the draft combine. With all this stuff is fun and interesting, and the post-free agency stuff is a little less fun. That said, the most fun part of the summer for me is Summer League, which is back this year in Vegas. I might try to go. Irrelevant to this podcast, but I might try to be there. Boots on the ground. You'll be hearing from me in Vegas, potentially. August 8th through 17th, you get to see a lot of the youngsters. The Pacers' first-round pick, assuming they keep it, will be playing there. Probably some other young guys on the roster, like Cassius, if he's back, will be playing there. Anyone else they bring back who's young has a chance to play there. Aaron Holiday playing there wouldn't surprise me, although guys of his age and experience typically don't. Same with Sumner. Maybe Goga plays there. He's never played in Summer League. But that's the kind of players who end up down there. Maybe Amita Brima, if he's back. Who knows? But that's Summer League. It's 9 days. It's a blast. We'll cover that action as it's relevant, you know, the action we see from young Pacers and other teams that former Pacers or whatever. But there's a lot that goes on there. Execs can all meet up to. It's a big deal. Summer League is really fun. And we'll, of course, break that all down here during Summer League from August 8th through 17th. This is a very minor thing that could be a big deal. And this is an estimated date. I have August 10th here. This stuff is all, I think that's concrete now, but these dates are all kind of dynamic. So how trade exceptions work. So this day, August 10th, let me back up a little bit. This day, August 10th, is when the TJ Leaf trade exception expires. Pacers traded TJ Leaf for Jalen McHugh. The Thunder absorbed TJ Leaf's salary, sent a minimum player in return. The difference in salary from TJ Leaf to Jalen McHugh basically was a trade exception created by the Pacers. Don't ask me about cap rules for trade exceptions. They're really confusing. But basically, the Pacers got a $2.8 million trade exception in that deal. Typically, with trade exceptions, they last exactly 1 year. So that deal occurred, I think, last November, right? Typically, they last exactly a year, and then they expire. But because that was like right after free agency, right, and the calendar's adjusted and it's a lot faster and they're trying to get it back to normal, it's abbreviated. It's not quite a year. It's like the equivalent distance from the end of the moratorium to when the trade happened last year. So I think it's August 10th. It might be the 11th, might be the 9th, whatever. That's when the TJ Leaf trade exception expires. And that's an underrated part of the Pacers offseason is they have this $2.8 million exception where they can just take a guy from another team. They could just take a guy at that salary level, right? They don't have to send out any picks, any money, any players. They could just take a guy. That's pretty nice. I'm not saying they're going to do that, and I'll get to why two dates from now. But I think that is something to monitor. If they let it expire, it's not a big deal. A lot of trade exceptions expire. It's only $2.8 million. It's not that big. And again, there's another reason it might expire. Well, that I'll get to in a moment. But August 10th, TJ Leaf trade exception expires. The day before the first day of next season, Aaron Holiday's extension deadline. We'll do a whole podcast on this, assuming Aaron Holiday's still on the team next year, because this is kind of interesting, right? Rookie extensions are fascinating. It's a big risk-reward thing, especially with a guy like Aaron who had a really down year next year. But basically, after first-round picks go through 3 years of their deal, you can extend their deal past their fourth year and add years on. The Pacers did this with Sabonis, if you'll recall, two summers ago. There's a lot of hoopla about them being unable to officially agree on a price. Sabonis going on the record saying he knows how the team feels about him, and it was all curmudgeon and yada yada. And then they agreed to a deal, and all was well. But, you know, that stuff can be finicky and tricky, right? It's a big risk for the team sometimes. It's a big risk for the player sometimes. But the day before the first day of next season, when the games start, Aaron Holiday's extension deadline, that date is officially unknown. It'll probably be late October. So that's when seasons have been starting, and I know the NBA would like to get back to their old calendar, but that's unconfirmed. We will see what happens. October 31st, Goga Batadze team option deadline. As a first-round pick, he has options on the back 2 years of his contract. So the fourth year of Goga Batadze's contract will be the 2021-22 season. They have to decide on that option early on in his third season. They'll almost certainly pick it up because he's a capable player, and it's on a cheap deal anyway. So even if he's just like, even if they give up on him as a prospect, just as like a third center for cheap money as a youngster, he's probably worth about what that fourth year option is anyway. Assuming he's on the team, they'll most likely pick that up, although they have a few days into the season to evaluate it if they choose. But I mean, I'm going to pencil it in as picked up anyway. That's the official deadline on that. Okay, backing up. I talked about why if the TJ Leaf trade exception expires, not necessarily a big deal. That's because November 22nd, we're probably a month into the season on November 22nd. Why the hell is this on the off-season dates podcast? Well, that's because on November 22nd, the Victor Oladipo trade exception expires, right? The Caris LeVert-Victor Oladipo trade happened just shy of a month into the season. That's why, you know, November 22nd is an estimated date. But anyway, Victor Oladipo made $21 million last year. Caris LeVert made just over $16 million. That is a $4.8 million difference approximately. That is how much the trade exception the Pacers generated from that deal was. The reason that is important is because anything that fits in the TJ Leaf exception also fits in the Oladipo exception. So if the TJ Leaf one expires, it's not a huge deal. They can still make deals adding a guy at that salary level. No biggie. And $4.8 million, now you're kind of talking. Like, that's not a good player, but that can get you, like, an okay end-of-bench guy or, like, a guy with that's shown some skills but hasn't quite broken through yet, right? Like, I think that's an interesting trade exception that they could use this offseason if they want to save their mid-level. Like, the thing about saving the mid-level is, like, Pacers saving their mid-level last year allowed them to give O'Shea Brissett a three-year deal instead of a two-year deal, which turned out to be very important, right? So saving your mid-level has some value if you're able to find other ways to get contributors and using TJ Leafs using Victor Oladipo's trade exception to do so could be a smart, savvy offseason move from the Pacers. Obviously, trade exceptions are hard to use, especially that one is into the season, right? So they probably use it closer to when the season, like, or during free agency, but it's just an interesting thing to monitor, right? Maybe they use it around then if a team's trying to salary dump somebody or something, or who knows. But, like, guys in that money range, like Garrett Temple made that last year, Chris Dunn, Josh Jackson, Denzel Valentine. These guys are, like, okay or young or, like unproven but could be useful. A lot of guys on rookie deals, but, like, actual vets signed in this range, there are a few. JaVale McGee, Reggie Bullock, right? So these deals that move on into next year, maybe the Pacers can scoop one up from a team that's trying to cut some salary or something. Who knows? They have value, though. That's the last trade exception the Pacers will have this offseason. And the final date I have listed, January 7th, 2022. Not an offseason date. Well into the season. That's when O'Shea Brissett's contract for next year becomes fully guaranteed. That's crazy. That means they can cut him 2 months into the season and be off his money if something terribly catastrophic happens and he, like, can't play anymore or anything. But we've talked about how they might just guarantee it now because he's very talented and will almost certainly be on the team next year, and they can do that. I don't think they will do that, I guess. I think they could, and it's a possibility, but I don't think they will because why. But that's when his contract is fully guaranteed. That's the last date I wanted to put on here, although that's probably too far into the season to make this pod. But whatever. It's a team-building consideration for a guy whose deal is not guaranteed for next season, next year. So that's everything. From May 25th through January 7th, the key dates to monitor for the Pacers. We'll do pods about specific ones of these that I think are important closer to their dates, right? The Canada date for Bjorkren is interesting. The draft lotto is interesting. We'll cover Olympic basketball. We'll cover the draft and the lotto and free agency, obviously. But, you know, summer league and the how can they use the trade exceptions? All that probably merits their own show. And there's a lot to get to. We still have to do player reviews. And that's coming up next week. So zooming out from Pacers dates, moving into Lockdown Pacers dates. Next week, we're going to do another classic offseason Lockdown Pacers show, ranking the trade value of every Pacer. And then we're going to transition from that into officially reviewing last season mode. So we'll have, for most of June, player season recaps, thoughts about the seasons, right? How much did injuries really impact the season? What were the final numbers on Sabonis, McDermott and McConnell season, and how that impacts free agency? Stuff like that will be the focus of the rest of June. And we'll, of course, blend those shows in with shows breaking down the stuff you heard today for the key dates. So thank you guys so much for listening and bearing with me as I nerd out on why these dates are all important and how they impact the Pacers offseason. We will, of course, break this all down in more detail as the summer goes on. Hope you all have a great weekend, and we will see you on Monday.